Burnham Sports.
Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And it is a delight to have another local cricketing special, and providing one of the special aspects of it, it's from the Rolls-Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division, Redlet, and their captain again, Tom Jenkins. Welcome again, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Doing really, really well. Love the fact that we've got some cricket to talk about, and sounds to me, Tom, that it was a real doozy last week, and a great result for Radlett. Remain unbeaten from matches you've been able to play, but a bit of a squeaky bum start time by the sounds of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we managed to get a win by the meagre 7 runs. So managed to defend 189, having lost the toss and been put into bat. But like I said to you last week, Hertford were a dangerous team on their day. They're a very dangerous side. So really pleased with that win. And it's a great habit for us to get into, to win these tight games and getting close.
Do you know, honestly, I really think that's phenomenal, because sometimes it's these tight matches which are on a knife edge where you really are cultivating that habit of winning. And more importantly, testing not only your aptitude with bat and bowl and as players, but as characters too. I suppose there must have been a sense of euphoria afterwards, or was it relief?
A bit of both. So, with 10 overs to go, we were staring down the barrel big time for Hertford to chase it down really well. But in the middle overs, Anthony Hill, we managed to get a hat-trick, which is pretty rare, particularly in one-day cricket. And then we relied on a really talented 15-year-old who was left-arm seamers and ended up with figures of 4 for 35 off his 9 overs, but cleaning up the last three in really quick time. So really, really proud of the lad's effort. And obviously, like you say, the test of character and the never giving up is something that you can't really teach that. And it's just something that we at the moment have as a collective really nicely. And it's, standing in some good stead.
Hey, defending champions, of course, that culture of winning is very much embedded. But what an effort there from the youngster, 15 years of age, really stepping up to the plate. But my word, like you say, another bit of bowling heroics. It's not every day that you get a hat trick. A few, I suppose, well-earned drinks post-match for both of those stars.
Yeah, a couple of refreshments. Well, for one of them at least. The other one's not allowed to. I've only ever seen one other hat trick in the whole of my career. But to get it in the middle overs of a one-day game made up of two LBWs and a stumping is in itself quite rare. So, Anthony Hill, he bowled a great set. Broken up into a number of different spells this week. Usually he bowls his 9 through, but yeah, he bowled really tight, created lots of scoreboard pressure for us. Sort of set us on the way, really. It was really good stuff.
I guess always there is lessons to be learned, because the positives are there for all to see. Another narrow win, but a win nevertheless. Great character, hat-tricks. You know, it's fantastic. But again, you know, the Hertford team put you into bat. Was there a slight sense that was a low figure? And if, again, remaining unbeaten as you are, always seeking improvements, though, as I'm sure you are, is it looking for a batting improvement this weekend?
I think so. I think we were probably not actually that far off a par score. We didn't bat particularly well early on a fairly slow wicket. I think home ground advantage really helps when you get to know how your wicket performed under certain conditions and you play your ground well. And I think Hertford did that. They bowled very nicely up front against us with the new ball. But I think probably 200 to 210 was probably a pretty handy score and pretty tough to chase down. So we knew we weren't too far away if we started well. We're really looking to build big partnerships at the top of the order, really, and sort of create a platform for the stroke players to come through in the middle order. So we'd hope to sort of improve in that area, I think.
Always seeking that incremental improvement. It is another emblem of the truly great sporting clubs across all forms of sport. Big weekend, though, again, it doesn't end, fingers crossed, weather permitting. But a home fixture this weekend against Reed. Again, you are looking really to defend an unbeaten record from matches you have been able to play. 4 wins from 6 with 2 no results, 120 points. No championship at stake this year. But I guess it would be symbolically and, you know, just for pride, that top spot is where you habitually are used to being. And it's so close at the top. Reed, inconsistent, only one win from six. But again, looking competitive, you'd be making Radlett favourites for this one, I would imagine.
I mean, maybe. Reed are a little bit of an unknown to me, having come up from the championship last year. And I've seen some of their scorecards. They pushed well in extremely close last week. And although they're in eighth position, a bit like I said about Hartford, is they if you don't bring your A game, they can surprise you. And I know a couple of the lads there, and they can be game-changing. So we're going to have to bring our proper game, play well. We play well at home. We love playing at our home ground. So, and hopefully carry on that momentum towards the last two games of the season, one of which is Potter's Bar, which will be a really big showdown. And obviously, having lost to Totteridge last week, they'll be looking to get a reaction this week themselves. So it's all going to be quite tight at the top, I think. But as you say, you always play to win, and you don't really want to come second. It's finished, winning the title's the target for this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it is the good reasons that Radlett have earned that moniker, the Rolls Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division, looking to go through the gears and keep that momentum rolling this weekend, hosting Reed as you do. Tom, always appreciate your time. Just before I let you go, we talk about momentum. We talk about the importance of a winning attitude and a winning culture. England claim their first test victory in the series against Pakistan for 10 years. And it was a bit of a landmark occasion for two men at different ends of their career. Your thoughts quickly on Zach Crawley's efforts, claiming a maiden, not only century, but double. And then, of course, we have to chat briefly about James Anderson bagging 600 wickets in test matches. The fourth highest wicket taker in all of test match history. The best efforts from a fast bowler, only 19 away from surpassing Anil Kumble in third. Two awesome performances from two men at different ends of their careers. Your thoughts on those two stars?
Yeah, I mean, you can't look far away from James Anderson, can you? I mean, 600 wickets in 150-odd test matches. The guy is simply probably the most skillful seamer ever to have lived, arguably. And certainly in the right kind of conditions, that's an extraordinary achievement. As a fast bowler, to play 150 test matches is amazing in itself, but it's that mental aptitude to keep wanting to succeed and carry on. And obviously, like you say, Zach Crawley at the other end of his career is just starting out. But again, the aptitude and the application to go and score 260 or whatever he scored is phenomenal against a very good bowling attack on a not easy surface. So there's some lots of positive signs for England, particularly in that batting department. If they can get that nice, solid, stable lineup, then I think the bowling stocks are there behind them, and they can have a successful period of certainly test match series in the future coming up.
Yeah, I think it's looking like a very positive culture that's being developed here from England across all forms. Really quickly before we move on, Zach Crawley, again, we've mentioned his successes, made in test century, then hung around, got it over 200, great efforts. Just listening to the likes of Robert Key and a few of the people who know him very well, he's 22, it seems like he's got a great, great future ahead of him. But it seems, you mentioned their aptitude and application. It sounded like that he took himself off to India to improve his technique under spin, to do similar thing, to improve technique against the pacers, went down to Australia. So it seems to me that this is a young man who takes his art and his craft incredibly seriously and is determined to work on aspects which could have been weaknesses. And maybe now we're seeing the benefits of that.
Of course. I mean, I coach within the Hertfordshire setup as well. And the one thing we say to all of these lads of all ages and girls is come to every session trying to improve something. Mm-hmm. All right. Have it in your mind before you even start. And obviously, Zach Crawley's been quite lucky in his ability to go away to India and to Australia, like you say, and really focus and work on some specific things. But that has to come from him as well. That's an internal motivation of his. So for that to kind of like you say, to come to fruition in one game and be really obvious and be such a young man scoring a test double hundred is extraordinary. And if you're a young player watching that sort of thing, listening to the guys and his mentors that are around him, you could do a lot worse than copy what he does. I think that can only bode well to for all the crowds and English cricket to really assess how he goes in his career, really.
Absolutely, a real kind of demonstration of what is possible and applying those focused determination and commitment to working at your particular skill craft. It's a really vital lesson. It carries on, though. We've got a busy week ahead. It's still against Pakistan in the T20 series. Obviously, England, I'm sure we can all remember that wonderful summer just over a year ago when on home turf, in the most dramatic of fashions, England claimed their first World Cup. They actually lost to Pakistan in the group stages, though, from memory. And Pakistan are ranked fourth currently in the T20 order. So they are going to be up for a fight. T20 for me is the great equaliser. It's going to be a really thrilling series, isn't it, in this T20? Very unpredictable. Are you backing England with this momentum? Or do you think Pakistan will be really up to upset the apple cart slightly here?
I think momentum kind of comes away from this a little bit because of the bubbles these guys have had to be in. It's going to be a completely different squad. They're all together at the moment, I presume, in their bubble, practicing, training, doing whatever they're doing. But like you say, Pakistan have some absolutely world-class players. And if they arrive on the day, you can easily lose to them. And they've got the players to destroy you. So England are going to have to be well up for it and perform really well to get anything out of a T20 series with Pakistan, that's for sure.
I'm excited for it. And I'm excited to speak with you next week, Tom, as we look to discover if Radlett can indeed remain unbeaten. Crucial fixture at home this weekend, fingers crossed, weather permitting, against Reed, new to the league, offering a unique challenge. It's going to be an exciting one. I look forward to hearing all about that and building up for the remainder of your season as Radlett look to remain unbeaten. For now, thanks again for your time. It's the second part of this week's Verulam Sports local cricket special. And I think it's with a bit of a special smile on his face that we welcome this evening the amazing Rupert Garrett from Harpenden Cricket Club. It's been a tough start to this campaign, but I believe that smile could well be inspired by a first victory of the season last weekend. It was a home fixture against Huddersfield. Rupert, fill us in. What was the result? And give us the appraisal of the game.
Yes, a win, Tony. Thank you for that. Yeah, Harpenden should have won more easily than they did, actually. They batted first. Huddersfield batted first. And after a reasonable start, Harpenden took wickets the whole way through. They had a quite a good overseas who made 80-odd. Mm-hmm. And they made 230. It was probably a 250 wicket. And I think last week we talked about the Harpenden batsmen needing to create some partnerships. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the pair put on 70 or 80.
It changes everything, doesn't it, when those openers just stick in bed and have really kind of cemented an innings from which everybody else can build around. And, you know, great effort from those two, because we've spoken about it, as you say, Rupert, it is so critical, isn't it, that you've just got that cemented foundation and then you can build your innings. So, yeah, great effort there. Fill us in again. Who else starred?
So the one of the openers, Jimmy Latham, got 70-odd, and the captain made 30. Then there was a bit of a wobble in the middle, and then a chap called Andrew Neil came in and got 50. And then we were cruising, needing about 30 off, I don't know, 7 or 8 overs. Then typical half or typical English side, we got 2 or 3 quick wickets. But then luckily, they saw it home and we won with about 2 overs to spare. So, good win. And I think they were threatening to do that. It was a good effort.
Well, Rupert, even, you know, before this, as long as we've been having these conversations now, throughout the campaign, it looked on paper like a horrific start to the season. But there were those causes for optimism. And again, you played some of the big boys in the league. But that, I think, could be a very important win because it showed two things. For me, there from what you've described. Number one, as we've explained, how critical that opening pair are, and credit to the young man getting 70 odd really sets you up. But then when it was squeaky bum time, so to speak, and it could have gone either way, again, that demonstrates to me a really strong character of a team who pulled together and really refused to allow this one to slip through the fingers. So, yeah, two critical points for me there. I guess it must be a little bit of a relief, though, for all that that monkey of no wins has been removed now.
Oh, very much so. I think, yeah, as you said, the sides performed pretty well, you know, haven't performed abysmally in each game. In the three games they lost, they went out play. It was just the crucial phases they sort of lost out. But, yeah, I think the signs are good. And as I said before, it's a young side. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, we shouldn't talk about next year yet, or maybe we should, because this is quite an odd season. People probably know there's no promotion or relegation. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the younger players are getting experience, and it does bode well for Harpenden for next season.
Definitely, and again, that character, because winning, like all things, becomes a habit. And when you get into that habit, it's a tough one to break. And so let's see if you can build that momentum on the road this weekend against West Hearts. West Hearts are in fifth, but they're blowing hot and cold themselves. Two victories from their six. But the nature of your sport, it's one of the great things about it, means that it's not like in football where it's three wins for a victory or a point for a draw. There's lots of different means in which you can rapidly rise up the leagues. And you currently, with just that one win, as we've said, 64 points, but all to play for. And a couple more victories puts you right back in contention with those big boys that you've already competed admirably with.
Yeah, very much so. And I think no disrespect to Potterson or West Hearts or Hartford. They would probably, if they were bookies, mm-hmm. they along with Harpenden would be down the lower end of the table. So I think now that they're playing West Hearts this weekend, then I think Totteridge Methillians are a strong side, and mm-hmm. then Hartford to finish. And I think there's no reason why before the season started they'd hope to those three fixtures remaining to win at least two out of three. And then, yeah, if we can win this weekend, then the Totteridge game is winnable as well. So that I'm sure the side have got to think, right, we've got to win all our remaining games. Mm-hmm. And yes, and if that did happen, maybe results going their way, then you never know, Harpenden could end up in the top two. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Absolutely. But, you know, they're all gone about acorns, and oaks. And it does take that first win, and sometimes things do rapidly improve. Again, for me, the shoots of optimism have been there right from the very start of this campaign. So looking forward to that West Hearts fixture. I've actually got circled in my diary the game you've referenced, the home fixture against Totteridge, because I'm certainly going to enjoy the action live that week and enjoy your company too, Rupert. So that's in the diary. I look forward to that.
Look forward to that.
Be enjoying that one. After back-to-back victories. Always, Rupert, though, I appreciate not only your wonderful Harpenden analysis, but your overall cricketing IQ. And a great Test Series victory for England versus Pakistan, the first in a decade. So credit to the lads. And again, for me, many striking things. I think awesome. Again, granted that play was limited, but ultimately, I think it's fabulous that they got that first Test Series victory against Pakistan, a competitive team always. And for the most part, without the talisman that is Ben Stokes. And two men, though, one of whom we've discussed many a times, you and I, but I have to circle into. Two men I want to discuss there with you at different ends of their cricketing career trajectory. James Anderson will come on to. But talk to me about Zach Crawley's efforts. Not only a maiden century, but he then doubled up and looked rock solid. Wonderful effort. And there are going to be people saying, should he open? I don't know. For me, he looks like the man who is a number three. But your thoughts on his efforts against Pakistan?
Yeah, fantastic achievement. I mean, to score that big a score in your third or fourth test match is an incredible achievement. Again, you look back on record books, not many players have scored a double hundred in a test match at all in their career, to do it early on in your career. And let's face it, that Pakistan is a good attack. They've got some, they might be a bit inexperienced, but they've got some very good quick bowlers and a decent leg spinner. So an incredible achievement. And let's hope England have found the number three, because since Jonathan Trott, England haven't had a number three. Joe Root doesn't want a bat three. And I don't, he shouldn't open. I think he should stick at three. And I think one thing this series has taught us, though, that maybe England in the past have been guilty of saying, oh, we've got to pick the same team wherever. We've got to pick the right side for English conditions and then the right side for Australia. Now, Crawley, I think, will bat three in Australia. But if we come on to talk about some other players, maybe some of them are better at home than they are abroad. So I think, yeah, great for Crawley, and he should have a very long England career, let's hope.
And obviously, we're doing it here, and obviously heaping praise on him. My only kind of concern is that there is this English media habit of notifying talent and giving it the big hype, and then almost to a degree, really expecting a Newtonian effect where what goes up must come or must maybe be brought down. I just say, look, let this young man develop naturally, let him do his business, and where the future and his great future, I believe, leads, just let it lead. So I know we're doing it to a degree here, a bit of a irony, but I'm just a little nervous about the foibles of the British media as how we treat young Crawley here. We'll see.
I know exactly what you mean. Yes, I think, you know, if he goes to India, if they play this winter in India, if they go, and he has a bad series, so what? Playing, you know, he's 6'5", and so his strength really is going to be playing quick bowling in theory, or a bouncy wicket. Obviously, he's going to potentially be better playing the ball bouncing than keeping low. He's got further to get down. But let's think about, you know, what he could do in Australia on bouncy wickets. No, he's a huge find. He's got great temperament. And let's hope him. I think along with Pope, two very good young players, England have definitely got some potential for the future there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned his temperament there. One of the key things that I was delighted to learn about, just watching him play and hearing Robert Key, maybe one of his mentors, and a few other people talk about how he's really taken it upon himself, very mature attitude and approach, to actually go to India to work on his technique when it comes to spin. And then you reference maybe a more of a natural element in his game, and it's just by his biomechanics on pacey, bouncy wickets. But to then attempt to hone that, he went down under and tested himself. So he's really shown a maturity and a willingness to not just have a natural gift, but then to have the desire to really challenge that gift and push it forwards. I think that quality in that young man is going to stand him in real good stead.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're never the finished article in any sport. I think the players that stop practicing, well, some need to practice more than others, but stop thinking they can get better and are going to get caught up by young people. You can always get better. Mm-hmm. And there's always different challenges. And he appears to have the right mentality to go forward.
And one man who's almost embodied that throughout his whole career is James Anderson. What an effort. We've been eulogising about him all summer, and quite rightly so. But 600 wickets. Again, that's the fourth all-time. It's the best amongst all quickies. And he's only 20 away from surpassing India's great spinner, Anil Kumble. He's got 619. Again, Rupert, we've spoken about him all summer, but just what an effort to retain that fitness, number one, to show willingness to adapt his game. And he's really mastered the art of swing bowling, both, you know, natural, so to speak, and in. What a tremendous talent. We've been lucky to enjoy this artist work very hard at his craft too throughout a career. Long may it continue. We've spoken about him all summer, but just quickly, your thoughts, your praise for James Anderson. And again, just give it that historic context of what his 600 wickets represents.
Fourth highest wicket-taker ever. I think there've been, I heard somewhere, there've been 2,000 Test cricketers. So he's fourth of all time. You said, Tony, the first seam bowler to take 600 wickets. And you've got to remember, he was injured last summer.
Indeed.
He didn't play against Australia much. And what would have happened had he been fit? But let's not go about that. I mean, an amazing feat of fitness. I think he's got incredible control. He's still pretty quick. He bowls quick enough in England. Now, whether he can do that overseas, well, I mean, last time he went to West Indies in India, he was very economical and maybe didn't take as many wickets. And he's come out and said he's very keen to go to Australia the winter after next. And there's no reason why he wouldn't be effective. Now, whether he plays every game is another matter for debate, but an incredible achievement. And there's no reason why he won't get 620, 630. I can definitely see him playing here next summer. And he's, at the moment, I think since he's got to 30, his average is better than it was in his 20s, which, you know, he's getting better with age, like a fine wine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good analogy for the man, and supreme talent. But this is the thing that I love about all sports, is that when the bar is raised, it just ripples down and all of a sudden you want to surpass it. And of course, we've got Stuart Broad also still looking lively, himself seventh all time. But I remember, goodness me, when Beefy's 360 odds was looking like it would be one of those records from an English perspective that would stand the test of time. And again, he's almost doubled it. And that is just astonishing for me, because again, it shows fans, the next generation of quickies, maybe inspiring your quickies, doing great work at Harpenden, of just precisely what is possible. Like I say, for me, I never thought Beefy would be caught, or at least not for a long time. Yeah. It's interesting now, it's been raised, and Broad's pushed it along too. So once again, a testament to this great 1-2 combo.
You know, Anderson and Broad get out good players. It's a bit like the great footballers score in the big game. Anderson and Broad get the best players out, be it Virat Kohli, be it David Warner, be it Williamson in New Zealand, be it de Villiers when he played. They get the best players out. And they're we should really appreciate them, because another cliche, but when they're gone, you don't realise how talented they are until they're gone. Australia found that out when they lost Glenn McGrath and Shane Warne. They were two of the all-time greats. And I think Broad and Anderson are two of the all-time England greats. And let's cherish them while they're there and hope we can get a bit, they can keep fit and get a few more miles and wickets in their legs and their arms, respectively.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's hoping that will be the case. But just whatever is their future, they've been wonderful servants in their tenure. And as I say, do hope that continues. In the here and now, though, obviously great results in the Test series. Granted that we debated and discussed the foibles of the second Test, and we're drawing a line under it. And the third one, again, was rain curtailed, and that's the English summer. Although I just think England was so far in the ascendancy, it was inevitability. And overall, once again, to utilise our favourite cliche, Rupert, for me, cricket with the Anderson moment and that Zach Crawley effort was the great winner. But it doesn't stop. We're in for a treat, I think. England, of course, are 2020 champions. They lost, though, didn't they, to Pakistan in their group stages. Pakistan are ranked fourth in the ICC T20 rankings. And there's a very exciting series starting Friday, running right through till mid-next week. So it's intensive. And for me, I'm always a Test cricket fan and a bit of a dinosaur, as you know. But this is going to be exciting. This is going to get eyeballs watching. And I just think it's one of those where it's so thrilling, T20, that I find form becomes almost irrelevant. And this is just going to be a real harem scarum affair. What's your predictions for England-Pakistan in this exciting upcoming flurry of T20 action?
Yeah, I agree, Tony. It'd be very exciting. It's very hard to call T20s. I think at home you'd say England would go in as favourites, but in T20, Babar Azam, I read today, hasn't scored a T20 100, and he said he's determined to do that. Their side's probably stronger. Mohammed Amir, who retired from Test cricket, is in their one-day squad. They've got Wahab Riaz, some cricket fans might remember him. They've got England, I've just read Jason Roy's injured, so he won't play. And got to remember, a lot of these Pakistan players have been playing regularly, whereas England players, I know they've been in the one-day bubble, but it should be very exciting. It'll be a bit weird again with that crowd, whether they'll jazz it up with music, I don't know. I mean, saying that, because I watched some of the Caribbean League last night and they had music playing. But it should be very exciting and lots of sixes hit, I think. But some good bowlers on show. So I think it'll be close. I don't see England winning every match. I think Pakistan will nick one, but I think England to win. Is it three games? If it's three games, I'll take England to win 2-1.
I think that sounds more than fair. Again, these sides know each other very well. And whilst I will always be a Test match fan, there is something unique about T20. It's going to be thrilling and we'll keep you informed. We're hoping for another thrilling Harpenden victory this weekend, travelling as you are to West Hearts. Again, coming in off your first victory of the campaign last week, looking to build that momentum. Your final thoughts, Rupert, in this week's local cricket special for Harpenden travelling this weekend to West Hearts.
Yeah, going with confidence, having won last week. And they got a couple of changes from last week. A couple of guys weren't available last week and one guy's gone on holiday. So I think we're probably a stronger side on paper this week than last week. So, it won't be the warmest day. So they might have to wear some sweaters. But I think going with confidence and looking forward for another victory.
Back-to-back wins would be brilliant. And then I will be there in person for the next home fixture against the Mill Hillian outfit. So that's going to be exciting. It's in my diary. Rupert, it's always fabulous to have a chat with yourself. As always, for myself and the whole team here on Verum Sport Podcasting, wishing everybody at Harpenden well for this away fixture. I look forward to discussing it with you next week. Thanks again, Rupert.